broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Score!
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And good morning, baseball fans. Welcome into Inside the Clubhouse this morning here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David today. David is out in Las Vegas with Mully, a special Mully and Haw following this show. We'll tell you more about that in a second. Good morning, Bruce. And the Seesaw White Sox season continues.
It does, Mike. It continues, and I hope you can hear me okay, because I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Okay. Right now, it's been a up and down season, no doubt about it. And from the perspective of last night's game, it's Sox doom and gloom again. This important series with the Cleveland Guardians started off in a very rough way. Looked good for a while with Lance Lynn pitching a very good ball game against Tristan McKenzie, who was superlative, but the White Sox rather had him on the ropes early before he started to strike out everybody that was in a Chicago White Sox uniform. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of storylines in this one last night. We will talk plenty of Cubs as well on a star-studded show for you, but we're going to stick with the Sox. At the moment, they had a 2-0 lead after getting four hits in the first, but a Yasmani Grandal double play with runners on the corners in the first got McKenzie out of that jam. And as you mentioned, a career high with 14 strikeouts through seven as he settled in last night. Some missed opportunities last night and then some weirdness. And you mentioned Sox angst, you know, earlier this week, listening to these very airwaves. People, I think, were feeling the Sox had turned the corner after winning the first two against the Astros. And then the tight one on Wednesday, the not-so-tight one on Thursday, and then last night. And I feel, unfortunately, that Sox fans are right back down in the dumps today.
Mike, the theme of the show is, are the White Sox who they are? And again, it's not the first time this subject has been broached. But, you know, we are so far into the season right now. There's 45 games left. And the expectations a couple of times has been, hey, the White Sox are hot now. It's their division to win. I have to stop that in my thought process because I've never thought, because of the White Sox offensive woes this year, that they were ever going to be able to dominate. I thought that when they got guys back healthy, especially Eloy off of the IL, having been there for so long, that this was going to be a better offensive team. But I never have felt, and I'd like to get your idea and our callers at 312-644-6767, your thoughts on where the White Sox offense has gone, and is there any confidence that it will come back? In my opinion, Mike, it's a pitching team right now. Mm-hmm. They normally get a very well-pitched game every single day or night. The exception, of course, was Lucas Giolito recently not lasting very long against Houston the other day. But this is a very good starting pitching team. This is a team that has a very good bullpen. The offense and the defense have been huge question marks. And I think I started talking in early June, Mike, about the fact that I didn't think the offense was going to be able to dominate this year, that the defense, the base running, and the pitching was going to, that was going to have to get better, and the pitching was going to have to continue to be the thing that carries the White Sox into being better than average. At this point in time, they're an average team, but I do not, at this point, necessarily feel that they have the ability to separate themselves or get to, at this point, catching Cleveland and Minnesota. I think they're as good as those two teams. I just don't think at this point in time you can say they necessarily have the ability to separate themselves. Again, 312-644-6767. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, our score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I'm with you, Bruce. It's August 20th, right? We've been waiting for this offense all season. We've talked about it. They were mentioning the Sox lack of the home run ball on the TV broadcast last night during the game. The Sox near the bottom of MLB in home runs with the lineup they've put together. It should not be the case, but really, when you look up and down the lineup, Anderson's hurt. Vaughn hits and has been hitting, as does Abreu. Aloy has been hitting, although we have more on him with a leg injury to discuss. But outside of that, and Moncada has made some contributions recently, but overall, this team is disappointed offensively. They're not hitting the long ball. They're not hitting the long ball at home, which, as we know, is a ballpark that the ball flies out of. And the pitching has been there, but this is just a team that's been so inconsistent throughout the season and, you know, very frustrating, certainly for our White Sox fans and certainly for those of us that follow baseball very closely. The White Sox sitting today 3.5 games out of first place behind the Guardians in the Central Division. And as you said, Sox angst and more Tony La Russa angst after another intentional walk like one earlier this season with a very pitcher-friendly count.
Yeah, that's a fact, Mike. Why don't we talk a little bit about La Russa and get to his thoughts. Again, it's the second time he's walked a hitter 1-2. This time it was Gonzalez. And the fact that it worked out or not still has White Sox Nation talking about it. The fact is, Mike, it worked out just fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got the fly ball induced, but people just need to vent, and it seems La Russa is the place they go. So even though this didn't impact the game at all, it appears that Tony's going to be the continued whipping boy for the White Sox inept offense. So let's take a listen to Tony being asked about the fact that he, again, after a double steal, walked at Gonzalez with a 1-2 count, setting up nothing more. The inning had already gotten away.
The left-hander was going to be when he faced Mueller. When he got to Gonzalez, then when they stole the base, there's an open base. So it's them on. So it worked, right? Did we get the guy out?
Yeah.
So it worked.
So there he is, defending his decision. Diekman was pitching at the time in the seventh inning, and that was a move that did help them. The runner on first stole second, opening the base. La Russa with a 1-2 count on him, then decided to put Gonzalez on base, and the next batter flied out. So they did get out of the inning. The damage was stopped there, but certainly lots of second guessing on that. The second time that Tony has done that this season. It's been an interesting experience here with Tony La Russa this season, Bruce. And certainly this is a team that hasn't seemed to have found its way yet. And I wonder, and I know our fans think this, and we'd love to hear from you at 312-644-6767 if La Russa is not a part of that.
You know, again, Mike, the idea that this is La Russa's fault, I've been battling with David all year long on our show and other listeners sometimes. But, you know, the reality is that La Russa has very little to do with the offensive woes of the Chicago White Sox. It's just been a team up until recently that has had no left-handed hitting whatsoever to supply any pop. Moncada has supplied a lot of big hits here over the last 10 days from the left side, which has been really important. If you remember that Sheets had a huge couple of hits to help them win games. Grandal has just not been able to supply any power whatsoever. He's been hitting the ball a little bit better recently, but it's a team that doesn't have much balance, and against the better right-handed pitchers, you must have some left-handed hitting, and it just hasn't been there. But let's go to the phone lines, okay?
Absolutely. Inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score, Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haw today. David is out in Las Vegas at the Circa Hotel and Sportsbook outside Swim Cabana number 6. There'll be a special Mully and Haw right after this show, so definitely stick around for that. Let's do get out to the phone lines before we tell you who our guests are for the show, a star-studded affair. Let's go out to Orlando, Bruce. Rusty is first up here on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Rusty.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Bruce. I've stayed away from bashing La Russa for the most part, but I would disagree with what Bruce said a little bit. No doubt it's on the players to perform, but he does not have to put Grandal in the fifth and sixth hole. If you look at Grandal's stats, and last night going into the game, I thought Sheets should have had the DH position or have been in the lineup simply because he, you know, coming off four hits, he's had some big hits in the last 10 days to 2 weeks. Grandal has not, really. But Tony felt he had a hunch that Grandal is about to break out. Well, if you look at the stats that Grandal has put up since he's been with the White Sox, if it continues the way it has been this year, he will have his lowest on-base percentage in his career. He was always a guy that walks. Now he looks, he's up there trying to, in key situations, looking for the walk more than swinging the bat. I said a couple weeks ago that this season is the Godfather 3 of the trilogy of the 84, 2006, and now 2022 season. It's just so frustrating. I think Tony's been given, the fans have been on him, but he's been given too much of a pass. I would just point out that Louis Robert hasn't played in a week now, and we were told maybe Monday, if not Monday, Tuesday. Then we find out it's a cortisone shot. I think the most important thing, and it really hasn't been discussed, is they pinch ran Louis Robert this past week in a situation, well, yeah, a pinch runner was needed, but you're talking about a guy who's key to the team, a guy that hurt his wrist sliding on a stolen base attempt. Don't get me going about the lost art of steals. And he did two things. He risked further injury to Louis Robert, and he reset the IL clock. Now, if Robert doesn't play today, we have Robert out and Eloy out. I mean, like Desi Arnaz used to say, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. It's just a frustrating, frustrating situation. Thanks for listening, guys. I feel better.
Sure. No problem there, Mike, Rusty. Glad to have your contribution there. The frustration is real. The frustration is real, Bruce, with some of the ups and downs this season. After almost 5 months of baseball, the White Sox sit here 120 games in, two games above 500. They came off of a nice hot streak and two wins to start the Houston series and have now lost three straight. Momentum gained, momentum lost.
Look, Mike, again, I don't agree with La Russa's all his moves. I don't agree with David Ross's all of his moves. I don't even agree with Dusty Baker's moves, who has the best team in the American League all the time. That's just a part of the game.
Sure.
To me, Mike, it's the fun part of the game, okay? Because every good baseball fan puts himself in that dugout as the manager of the team. Every good baseball fan who cares about their team lives and dies with those moves. And if they don't work out and the players don't execute, or they feel the wrong players in there, it's going to be on the manager. I think that's fine. That's great. It's a big part of the game. I'm not an apologist for any manager. I'm just telling you that the roster construction of the White Sox here this year, okay, it's a fabulously talented team individually, but without left-handed hitting, no team in baseball, okay, is going to function at full throttle against the good right-handed pitchers. I don't care who you are, what era that you played in from 1876 till now, left-handed hitting has been an essential part of winning baseball games for any lineup all the way through till 2022. And if you don't have it, and they have had zero, I'm talking about zero pop, zero OPS from the right left side. Forget about the OP part. The slugging part has been a zero from the left side from the White Sox. If you want another opinion on it, ask Steve Stone sometime as he appears on The Score three times a week. He will tell you the same thing. And again, am I blaming Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams because they didn't add another left-hander? Yeah, you know what? They needed to add another left-handed bat at the trading deadline. Did they think they had enough going in with Moncada coming back healthy and Grandal having produced big time in the second part of 2021? Yeah, they did. And you know what? I didn't necessarily disagree. I thought that a left-handed bat fortification, being able to sign Brantley was the key for the White Sox in the offseason. They weren't able to do that. He went back to Houston. He played there for a portion of the year. He got hurt. He's out now for the rest of the year. Fine. But all I'm saying to you is you cannot expect that offense to perform night in, night out against guys like McKenzie and that type of stuff without having some left-handed at-bats that are going to be important for you on a nightly basis. That's all I'm saying.
And not to pick on Grandal, but it was his double play that ended that inning. The Sox had McKenzie on the ropes in that first inning last night. We'll definitely continue to talk more about the White Sox. Inside the Clubhouse, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have a great show coming up for you. A huge star-studded affair. We will talk to Patrick Wisdom of your Chicago Cubs. We will talk to Dylan Cease of your Chicago White Sox. We're excited to do both of those things. And the voice of the Cleveland Guardians, Tom Hamilton, will join us as well. Your calls will continue when we return from this very short timeout. We'll continue to talk Sox. We'll talk Cubs. And then Patrick Wisdom of the Cubs, hopefully joining us at 9:40. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David today. It's Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Naylor literally took off. Diekman never saw him, and he stole third base easily. And then on the drop, Jimenez decides to go to second. So now you walk him.
On one and two.
You apparently are walking him one and two, and now it looks like Jones is going to be called back, I believe.
Again, you're ahead of him one and two.
Yep. Yep.
And Jake Diekman is going to have it taken out of his hands for the time being.
Highlight courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. The White Sox lose in Cleveland last night, 5-2. We've been talking about it. We've been talking with you, the White Sox fan. We have plenty of Cubs talk as well. Patrick Wisdom will join us later on this hour. We will talk Cubs as well. They have won four straight. The story of the morning, however, though, Bruce, the White Sox lose their third straight. They're now 3.5 behind Cleveland. That, an intentional walk with a 1-2 count on a batter. It's the second time we've seen that this season. And you heard Stoney and
right,
Jason there.
I'm going to interrupt you there because you're right. We heard them. But we also need to inform people who didn't watch the game that the strategy worked, loading the bases. Diekman very upset coming out with the 1-2 count. The NBC Sports Chicago cameras caught him going into the dugout, very irritated that he was taken out with that.
Yep.
Understood the competitor in him ahead in the count. But, you know, this is consistent with what Tony La Russa says is the right thing to do after, you know, we have to set it up properly by saying they were on first and second, and they stole second and third, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's when La Russa put everything in motion, loaded the bases, brought in the right-hander, and the flyout caused no further damage. So, again, is this consistency that you don't like about La Russa, that you don't think he understands the essence of the game or knows how to manage any longer? Or is it finding an area to vent your feelings because of the fact that the White Sox are so frustrating to watch at times and the ability for them to stay and win in close games is very difficult?
Absolutely. I think it's a lot of all of those things. That's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haw today. It's Inside the Clubhouse till 11. A special Mully and Haw after our show from the Circa Hotel and Sportsbook. They're outside Swim Cabana number 6. They'll be broadcasting live starting at 11. So we'll look forward to that. Patrick Wisdom, Dylan Cease, and Tom Hamilton, the voice of the Guardians, all set to join us here. But right now we're talking to you, the Chicago baseball fan. Lots of thoughts on last night's action. Bruce, let's head out to Northbrook. Mike is up next on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Mike.
I got on. I'm 25 minutes waiting. But listen to what I have to say that I'm interested in your comments. Something that's been going on for the last 3 years with this team, and it was shown last night. Take Anderson, take Jimenez, and take Robert. Great, strong, young guys. Take Vaughn and take Abreu. Now, here's what's really, I mean, when you watch the games, it's very frustrating. You see Jimenez waltzing around the batter's box last night, and he gets hurt and goes out of the game. You see Anderson holding up on a swing 2 weeks ago, and the guy pulls something out in his finger. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that before. I've been following the game 50 years. I've never seen that. And then you got a guy like Abreu and a guy like Vaughn. If these things happen to them, you couldn't get them out of the game with a bulldozer. I mean, honestly, you guys watch these guys. I watch you guys like Mickey Mantle growing up. Other guys. You can't get – they want to play. These guys, if they're on the way to the washroom and they trip the wrong way, they're out for – they go on the – I mean, in particular, they never play a whole season. Okay, they're always getting
Mike, little namby-pamby. Mike, it's a great call. I want you to hear Chuck Garfine along with Ozzie Guillen on the postgame show last night on NBC Sports Chicago talking about the injury that occurred to Eloy Jimenez on a swing where he injured his right knee and had to come out of the game in mid at bat. Let's listen to Chuck go on his way of explaining what he thinks that Eloy should have done in that moment. Chuck Garfine last night.
Twists his knee. And if it's a bad injury, yeah, he should come out of the game. Come out of the game. Don't play. But then when Tony says he might play tomorrow, get in there and stay in the game. And what are you doing? Take a swing. Is your knee going to, like, shatter? Your team needs you.
But the thing is,
if you cannot stand, then leave the game.
You said that right. Why? Because what I told you at the most was sitting next to me. I said, I hope this man is out for a year. Why? Because it's a big time injury. But when the man say, oh, he might be ready to not play tomorrow, but he's a day by day, you're like, well, it's not that bad then.
I mean, everybody essentially is playing day by day in August. They're all dealing with stuff. Just to, like, he couldn't even try to play?
Okay. Where's the camera, please? Okay, right here. I never, ever, ever going to call you Chuck Jimenez again. Your name is going to be Chuck Garfine.
Wow.
No more Chuck Jimenez.
No more Chuck Jimenez.
No.
Because?
Because you don't need that last name because you're a tough man.
Thank you.
Well, Garfine last night, along with Ozzie Guillen on the postgame show for NBC Sports Chicago. Chuck brought it hard on Eloy. Again, we don't know the extent of Eloy's injury. We don't know today. Interestingly enough, Mike, Ozzie as a manager had a rule, and that rule was if you came out of a game with an injury, you would automatically not be allowed to play the next day. Okay? That was automatic for Ozzie. So Ozzie had his thought process of, okay, you can't stay in the game, you're not playing tomorrow. That all the players knew that, and that was a consideration for them when they came out of baseball games. And it was an incentive for Ozzie to say, if you're not hurt enough to if you're hurt enough to come out, you're not playing tomorrow. Keep that in mind. So that was a great rule that Ozzie had, and it worked. Again, we don't know the extent of Eloy's injury. We'll find out more today. But, again, Chuck and Ozzie gave it to you last night on that show afterwards.
No, and that's the post game. That is Chuck, who's covered baseball here forever and who knows the game. And that's the thing about this team is they're just so frustrating. You had right. Such high expectations. There's a ton of talent on this team.
Yeah, Mike, and then it's, you got to be careful when you question people's injuries.
I agree.
To know the extent, okay? Again, is Eloy Jimenez one of the most injury-prone players in baseball? He certainly is. He's had injuries every single year of his career that's kept him out of games. I watch him work hard every day. In the outfield, I watch him work hard in conditioning. The White Sox have done everything they can to support him and to keep him on the field. He's just an injury-prone guy. Rick Hahn took exception to that question by me earlier in the year. There's no getting around it. It's unfortunate, but true.
Plenty more White Sox talk coming up here on Inside the Clubhouse. We're going to dive into the Cubs in our next segment as well. They beat the Brewers 8-7 yesterday, their fourth straight win. We're looking forward to speaking with Patrick Wisdom of the Cubs later on this hour. Next hour, Dylan Cease of the White Sox, Tom Hamilton, the radio voice of the Guardians, will join us. All that and more right here on Inside the Clubhouse. That's Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haw today. David out in Las Vegas, Circa Hotel and Sportsbook. Special Mullion Haw coming on at 11 right after this program. So stick around for all of that right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Five shutout innings. Deep drive to right center. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Get out the tape measure for Franmil Reyes. Halfway up into the bleachers beyond the right center field fence. His 11th of the year, and the Cubs lead 4-0.
Franmil Reyes has been quite a find for the Chicago Cubs since being picked up off of waivers several weeks ago. You've got Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haw today. A special Mullion Haw live from Las Vegas follows this show at 11 from the Circa Hotel and Sportsbook outside Swim Cabana number 6 if you'd like to go join the guys if you're out there in Las Vegas. But Bruce...
Wait a minute. You just gave me an image, but go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I know, right? The Cubs.
I'm
the Cubs played
Molly in Speedos and you know some nice dress shoes. You know, by the pool, just getting ready, sipping on a pina colada, ready to get going and do the show.
Maybe after a tough night at the craps table, that is what we're gonna get. The Cubs playing some good ball of late. Franmil Reyes has been a big part of it. They've won 4 straight, including a come-from-behinder yesterday, 8-7 over the Brewers.
Yeah, the pop in the lineup has dramatically changed the percentages of the Cubs having a chance to win. Their pitching has been really pretty good all the way through, especially since the All-Star break. It's been very good. Run production for the Cubs and many, many other teams has been difficult. But the addition of Reyes and the pop that, guys like Patrick Wisdom, who we expect to talk to in just a minute or so here, has made a difference in them going from 2 to 3 runs a game, occasionally 4 to 5 to 7, which gives them the flexibility to the bullpen to give up a run and still win a ball game.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bruce. The Cubs have gotten some pop. They had several home runs yesterday, including one from our next guest who joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book.
The man who hit his 50th home run as a Chicago Cub yesterday, Patrick Wisdom, nice enough to give us some time on Inside the Clubhouse today. Patrick, Mike, and Bruce here, starting off with you. First of all, congratulations on that home run, and also congratulations on home runs now being important again after taking a time off in Major League Baseball for a year and a half, as people said we need more contact in the game, we need more left field to right field. I'm sure you agree with that premise, but all of a sudden everybody's looking for home run hitters again. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Happy to be on the Score with you guys and, you know, talk some shop a little bit.
What are your thoughts about the game and how it's evolved hitting-wise from power to contact back to some power thoughts, you know, by the Cubs hierarchy moving forward, bringing in Reyes, him being a part of the mix with you guys as well?
Yeah, I mean, the game is, you know, constantly evolving. It's a cat-and-mouse game between the pitchers and the hitters. And, you know, it used to be sinker ball guys and, you know, so hitters are hitting the ball on the ground. So we, you know, hitters adjusted trying to hit the ball in the air, and then pitchers adjust and they're throwing, you know, high velocity forcings at the top of the zone. And so now you're trying to hit the ball lower and, you know, it just goes back and forth. And I think, you know, that's just how the game is going to continue to go. It's going to continue to evolve. And I mean, the ultimate goal is to score runs to win the ball game. You have to score more than the other team. You know, that's just the simple fact of the game. And so hitting home runs is a good way to score runs, especially if guys are on base. It's the ultimate.
Absolutely. Patrick Wisdom, our guest here on Inside the Clubhouse. And Patrick, you guys have been playing some good ball. You've won 4 in a row. And really, since the All-Star break, I mean, the Cubs, one of the better teams in baseball. What do you see as being the one or two reasons why the team has performed so well since then?
Yeah, you know, I'd say our pitching has been doing really well. And, you know, say we have a little blip with them, the bullpen comes in and picks them up. And, you know, I think that's the constant theme with us in the locker room is just, you know, picking each other up. And, you know, one sole person is not bearing the weight of trying to win or lose the ball game. And it's just, you know, it's a team effort. It's team offense, it's team pitching, team defense. So it kind of takes the pressure off you as an individual, just, you know, pulling for your teammates, looking for your teammates to do well, and just trusting that they're going to come through if you don't.
Patrick, if you will, take us through that clubhouse and give us the vibe. A lot of people don't like to talk about people being together and a good clubhouse and a team that has a losing record. But, you know, when I walk through there on a daily basis, I see a lot of guys that are together. I see a lot of guys conversing. I see a lot of guys, which is really refreshing in this day and age, available to talk about their game and what's going on with the Chicago Cubs. What are your thoughts about the clubhouse vibe and what's going on there as far as the continuity goes?
Yeah, very fun clubhouse. You know, I look forward to getting here every day just to be around the guys, to, like you said, talk, converse about, you know, either the game before or the game that we have, you know, ahead of us, and, you know, strategizing, you know, against the pitcher and maybe even addressing things that we could have done better in the game prior. And, you know, and then it's just talking about certain experiences through life, whether it be family, you know, whatever the case may be. It's just a good group of guys to be around, and I'm sure every guy you'd ask in there would – they just love coming to the ballpark just to be around the guys, maybe get there even a little earlier just so they can have that time to hang out with, you know, their teammates and get to know each other. And, you know, like you said, I think that builds camaraderie, it builds trust, and it leads, you know, onto the game. And sure, we may have a losing record, but that helps the atmosphere. You know, we're not all down and mopey and in our sorrows. We're positive, we're having fun, we're learning, and, you know, that leads to having a good time out on the field.
Well, Patrick, to me, that's one of the nicest and coolest things about this club and how you guys have performed most recently is because there was all the trade deadline talk around the All-Star break and, you know, will this guy get traded or will that guy get traded? And then the moves that are made. But through all that, you guys are playing some of your best ball of the season.
Yeah. Those are, you know, unique times and peculiar times. And, you know, I can only imagine what those guys were going through with the rumors. And, you know, it's just, that's just got to be a lot. We're happy the way it turned out. And, you know, glad to have Happ and Contreras, you know, still with us in the lineup. And they're, you know, they're huge parts of this team. And it was tough to see the guys get traded, you know, because you're friends with them and you love playing alongside them. But, you know, it's the nature of the business, and we look to the next game and, you know, try to win.
I have always known that playing Major League Baseball and being a Major League Baseball player is one of the hardest things to do and continue for a long time. And I just take an example of your friend and our friend Frank Schwindel and the fact that the miraculous 2 months that he had last year and then injury from spring training on impacted his year this year. And looking at your career and seeing how you persevered through many years in the minor leagues, I guess you don't need that reminder every day that you have to be happy and motivated every single day to keep getting better and to have good health on your side if you can, because of the fact that it's such a difficult thing to attain and a difficult thing to be able to keep.
Yeah, for sure. It's a hard game. It's hard to, but I think, you know, perseverance, perspective, and just a good attitude all around, I think, helps in all that. I mean, you know, we're not promised tomorrow, so it's just a matter of taking advantage of, you know, what's right in front of you, this, you know, playing it one pitch at a time, and just trusting in yourself, and, you know, good things will happen.
Patrick, a few more minutes with you. We really appreciate you jumping on with us. Strange as it may seem for you in this lineup and on this roster, right? You're one of the elder statesmen. You're one of the veteran leaders, and I know that carries some weight with it. But as you see all the young guys around you, I mean, is that something that you're mindful of as you're there in the clubhouse? Whether it's the young bullpen guys or the young position players coming up, is setting the tone for them?
Yeah, you know, showing them what it's like to be a professional, what it's like to be a Cub. You know, guys like Happ and Contreras do that as well. And, you know, we have some other veteran guys that, you know, take initiative and, you know, kind of herd the cattle, if you will, just making sure we're all, you know, doing the right thing when we need to be and, you know, looking professional, being a professional both on and off the field because, you know, we represent the Cubs, but most importantly, you know, we represent the name on the back of our jerseys as well. And so it's, you know, it's important and, you know, it's important to, teach the young guys, you know, what it's like to be a professional at this stage.
Yeah. At this stage is right. My last one for you. And again, Patrick, we both appreciate your time today. Since Mike and I don't know what this feeling's like, what is it like on a day game at Wrigley Field with 39,000 people there to hit a home run and to run around the bases to that type of roar, regardless of where the Cubs are in the standing, regardless of where the game is at? What is that feeling like?
Oh, man, it's amazing. It's hard to describe, but I'll do my best. You know, like you just said, like we, you know, in the standings wise, not doing too good, but this, you know, Wrigley is packed. We have 39,000. They're on their feet. They're cheering for us. You know, they're just so faithful. And that's a huge part of, you know, us having fun out here and being able to compete and enjoy this moment. But it's awesome. It's awesome to come through for your team, especially to put us ahead. Cause like I was saying earlier, just that team aspect of pulling for each other. You can just see the joy of the whole entire team, up and down the dugout, the bullpen, just everyone's, you know, pulling in the same direction, which is, it's just an awesome feeling. And, you know, then the next guy comes through. It's fun to pass the bat and, you know, win in front of this packed Wrigley Field, and the fans are always out here. So it's amazing.
thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for being such a great pro. And I've really enjoyed becoming friends with you over the last 2 years. It's been a pleasure. Thanks again for joining us today, Patrick.
Yeah, likewise, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
That's Patrick Wisdom of the Cubs. Big home run yesterday, his 22nd on the season as the Cubs won their fourth straight, 8-7 over the Brewers yesterday. 16-10 since the All-Star break, Bruce. So we'll talk some more Cubs later on in the show. And later this afternoon, 12:45 for our pregame with Zach Zaidman, Marcus Stroman, Freddie Peralta, Game 2 of the Cubs and Brewers series. When we return, and next hour, I should say, we are hoping to talk to Dylan Cease of the White Sox. We're looking forward to that. Coming up next, the voice of the Cleveland Guardians, Tom Hamilton, will join us. We'll talk a little American League Central ball with Tom when we return. It's Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David today here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. 70 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Five shutout innings. Deep drive to right center. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Get out the tape measure for Franmil Reyes. Halfway up into the bleachers beyond the right center field fence. His 11th of the year, and the Cubs lead 4-0.
Franmil Reyes has been quite a find for the Chicago Cubs since being picked up off of waivers several weeks ago. You've got Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haugh today. A special Mullion Haugh live from Las Vegas follows this show at 11 from the Circa Hotel and Sportsbook outside Swim Cabana number 6, if you'd like to go join the guys if you're out there in Las Vegas. But Bruce...
Wait a minute. You just gave me an image, but go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I know, right? The Cubs, the Cubs played
Molly in Speedos and you know, some nice dress shoes, you know, by the pool, just getting ready, sipping on a pina colada, ready to get going and do the show.
Maybe after a tough night at the craps table, that is what we're going to get. The Cubs playing some good ball of late. Franmil Reyes has been a big part of it. They've won four straight, including a come-from-behinder yesterday, 8-7 over the Brewers.
Yeah, the pop in the lineup has dramatically changed the percentages of the Cubs having a chance to win. Their pitching has been really pretty good all the way through, especially since the All-Star break. It's been very good. Run production for the Cubs and many, many other teams has been difficult. But the addition of Reyes and the pop that, you know, guys like Patrick Wisdom, who we expect to talk to in just a minute or so here, has made a difference in them going from 2 to 3 runs a game, occasionally 4 to 5 to 7, which gives them the flexibility to the bullpen to give up a run and still win a ball game.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bruce. The Cubs have gotten some pop. They had several home runs yesterday, including one from our next guest who joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino on Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook.
The man who hit his 50th home run as a Chicago Cub yesterday, Patrick Wisdom, nice enough to give us some time on Inside the Clubhouse today. Patrick, Mike, and Bruce here, starting off with you. First of all, congratulations on that home run, and also congratulations on home runs now being important again after taking a time off in Major League Baseball for a year and a half, as people said we need more contact in the game, we need more left field to right field. I'm sure you agree with that premise, but all of a sudden everybody's looking for home run hitters again. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Happy to be on the Score with you guys, and you know, talk some shop a little bit.
What are your thoughts about the game and how it's evolved hitting-wise from power to contact back to some power thoughts, you know, by the Cubs hierarchy moving forward, bringing in Reyes, him being a part of the mix with you guys as well?
Yeah, I mean, the game is, you know, constantly evolving. It's a cat-and-mouse game between the pitchers and the hitters. And, you know, it used to be sinker ball guys, and you know, so hitters are hitting the ball on the ground, so we, you know, hitters adjusted trying to hit the ball in the air, and then pitchers adjust and they're throwing, you know, high velocity forcings at the top of the zone, and so now you're trying to hit the ball lower, and you know, it just goes back and forth, and I think, you know, that's just how the game is going to continue to go. It's going to continue to evolve, and I mean, the ultimate goal is to score runs to win the ball game. You have to score more than the other team. You know, that's just the simple fact of the game. And so hitting home runs is a good way to score runs, especially if guys are on base. It's the ultimate.
Absolutely. Patrick Wisdom, our guest here in Inside the Clubhouse. And Patrick, you guys have been playing some good ball. You've won four in a row. And really, since the All-Star break, I mean, the Cubs, one of the better teams in baseball. What do you see as being the one or two reasons why the team has performed so well since then?
Yeah, you know, I'd say our pitching has been doing really well. And, you know, say we have a little blip with them, the bullpen comes in and picks them up. And, you know, I think that's the constant theme with us in the locker room is just, you know, picking each other up. And, you know, one sole person is not bearing the weight of trying to win or lose the ball game. And it's just, you know, it's a team effort. It's team offense, it's team pitching, team defense. So it kind of takes the pressure off you as an individual, just, you know, pulling for your teammates, looking for your teammates to do well, and just trusting that they're going to come through if you don't.
Patrick, if you will, take us through that clubhouse and give us the vibe. A lot of people don't like to talk about people being together in a good clubhouse and a team that has a losing record, but you know, when I walk through there on a daily basis, I see a lot of guys that are together. I see a lot of guys conversing. I see a lot of guys, which is really refreshing in this day and age, available to talk about their game and what's going on with the Chicago Cubs. What are your thoughts about the clubhouse vibe and what's going on there as far as the continuity goes?
Yeah, very fun clubhouse. You know, I look forward to getting here every day just to be around the guys to, like you said, talk, converse about, you know, either the game before or the game that we have, you know, ahead of us, and, you know, strategizing, you know, against the pitcher and maybe even addressing things that we could have done better in the game prior. And, you know, and then it's just talking about certain experiences through life, whether it be family, you know, whatever the case may be. It's just a good group of guys to be around, and I'm sure every guy you'd ask in there would, they just love coming to the ballpark just to be around the guys, maybe get there even a little earlier just so they can have that time to hang out with, you know, their teammates and get to know each other. And, you know, like you said, I think that builds camaraderie, it builds trust, and it leads, you know, onto the game. And sure, we may have a losing record, but that helps the atmosphere. You know, we're not all down and mopey and in our sorrows. We're positive, we're having fun, we're learning, and, you know, that leads to having a good time out on the field.
Well, Patrick, to me, that's one of the nicest and coolest things about this club and how you guys have performed most recently is because there was all the trade deadline talk around the All-Star break and, you know, will this guy get traded or will that guy get traded, and then the moves that are made. But through all that, you guys are playing some of your best ball of the season.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, those are, you know, unique times and peculiar times. And, you know, I can only imagine what those guys were going through with the rumors. And, you know, it's just, that's just got to be a lot. So, yeah, we're happy the way it turned out. And, you know, glad to have Happ and Contreras, you know, still with us in the lineup. And they're, you know, they're huge parts of this team. And it was tough to see the guys get traded, you know, because you're friends with them and you love playing alongside them. But, you know, it's the nature of the business, and we look to the next game and, you know, try to win.
I have always known that playing Major League Baseball and being a Major League Baseball player is one of the hardest things to do and continue for a long time. And I just take an example of your friend and our friend Frank Schwindel and the fact that the miraculous 2 months that he had last year and then injury from spring training on impacted his year this year, and looking at your career and seeing how you persevered through many years in the minor leagues, I guess you don't need that reminder every day that you have to be happy and motivated every single day to keep getting better and to have good health on your side if you can. because of the fact that it's such a difficult thing to attain and a difficult thing to be able to keep.
Yeah, for sure. It's a hard game. It's hard to... But I think, you know, perseverance, perspective, and just a good attitude all around, I think, helps in all that. I mean, you know, we're not promised tomorrow, so it's just a matter of taking advantage of, you know, what's right in front of you, this, you know, playing it one pitch at a time, and just trusting in yourself, and, you know, good things will happen.
Patrick, a few more minutes with you. We really appreciate you jumping on with us. Strange as it may seem for you in this lineup and on this roster, right? You're one of the elder statesmen. You're one of the veteran leaders, and I know that carries some weight with it. But as you see all the young guys around you, I mean, is that something that you're mindful of as you're there in the clubhouse? Whether it's the young bullpen guys or the young position players coming up, is setting the tone for them?
Yeah, you know, showing them what it's like to be a professional, what it's like to be a Cub. You know, guys like Happ and Contreras do that as well. And, you know, we have some other veteran guys that, you know, take initiative and, you know, kind of herd the cattle, if you will, just making sure we're all, you know, doing the right thing when we need to be and, you know, looking professional, being a professional both on and off the field because, you know, we represent the Cubs, but most importantly, you know, we represent the name on the back of our jerseys as well. And, so it's, you know, it's important and, you know, it's important to, teach the young guys, you know, what it's like to be a professional at this stage.
Yeah. At this stage is right. My last one for you. And again, Patrick, we both appreciate your time today. Since Mike and I don't know what this feeling's like, what is it like on a day game at Wrigley Field with 39,000 people there to hit a home run and to run around the bases to that type of roar, regardless of where the Cubs are in the standing, regardless of where the game is at? What is that feeling like?
Oh, man, it's amazing. It's hard to describe, but I'll do my best. You know, like you just said, like we, you know, in the standings, wise, not doing too good, but this, you know, Wrigley is packed. We have 39,000. They're on their feet. They're cheering for us. You know, they're just so faithful, and that's a huge part of, you know, us having fun out here and being able to compete and enjoy this moment. But it's awesome. It's awesome to come through for your team, especially to put us ahead. Because like I was saying earlier, just that team aspect of pulling for each other, you can just see the joy of the whole entire team, up and down the dugout, the bullpen, just everyone's, you know, pulling in the same direction, which is, it's just an awesome feeling. And, you know, then the next guy comes through, It's just, it's fun to pass the bat and, you know, win in front of this packed Wrigley Field, and the fans are always out here. So it's amazing.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for being a great pro, and I've really enjoyed becoming friends with you over the last 2 years. It's been a pleasure. Thanks again for joining us today, Patrick.
Yeah, likewise, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, have a great day.
That's Patrick Wisdom of the Cubs. Big home run yesterday, his 22nd on the season, as the Cubs won their fourth straight, 8-7 over the Brewers yesterday. 16-10 since the All-Star break, Bruce. So we'll talk some more Cubs later on in the show. And later this afternoon, 12:45 for our pregame with Zach Zaidman, Marcus Stroman, Freddie Peralta, Game 2 of the Cubs and Brewers series. When we return, and next hour, I should say, we are hoping to talk to Dylan Cease of the White Sox. We're looking forward to that. Coming up next, the voice of the Cleveland Guardians, Tom Hamilton, will join us. We'll talk a little American League Central ball with Tom when we return. It's Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David today here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.